This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Evening and welcome to Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Beck, your host for the show this week, and joining me tonight are Moddy and Fee. Hello, friends.
Hello, friend.
Well, big show tonight. Imagine if I just started with a bit of a small show tonight. Not that much on.
Not much footy news.
Not much footy news.
Not much going on.
That's right, but that would be a lie because it is a big show. Tonight we're going to review, now I think it's round 15 and 16. We're somewhere between. We're sort of in round 15 and a half.
Somewhere between 2019 and 2022.
Correct. We're going to do our dinner table, of course. We're going to talk about some of the footy stories of the week, and then we're going to play a chat that Fee and I had with the wonderful Shelley Ware about a lot of things, really, didn't we, Fee, around Indigenous involvement in the AFL. Shelley's a fabulous Indigenous woman, and we had a great chat to her, so you will hear that too. Not sure if you've noticed, we're in a pandemic. Bit of a hard week for us in Melbourne, so I just wanted to do a check-in. That's what you do when you check in with chicks.
That's cool.
I want to do a check-in on both footy and life. Fee, let's start with you.
Look, it's funny, isn't it? We all waited for that big announcement on Sunday, and it's that announcement, I think, has affected everyone really differently. And, you know, I personally was sitting there waiting for the announcements about childcare and, you know, different things that affected our business and all that sort of thing. And, you know, just that extra 2 weeks felt like a hurt. But also it's, you know, some of the businesses won't open up until kind of late October, early November, according to that roadmap. So it's a tough time. The other thing that I think hurts us all is that the date of the October 28th, the third step, is a few days after the grand final. So will we be able to watch it together? Depends how the numbers get down, I think. If they're down a bit quicker than we thought, perhaps we will. But at the moment, if it's October the 28th, we're a few days out from being able to watch a grand final together, which is kind of like watching or having Christmas alone.
Do you know what? I reckon, because I always am not a cynic, but I reckon they won't open it up till after the grand final to big groups. Because they just know it's uncontainable. People will have barbecues of 50 people.
And they'll be pashing each other. And
well, it's just, it's, I mean, that's
yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know. That may be cynical. Well, how I feel, I'm sort of confused. I'm confused as to how I feel in some ways because I'm like, well, okay, that's what we've got to do. That's, you know, we're in a pandemic. And then I go, yeah, but only 50 people are getting it, you know, say, have got it this 24-hour period, and all the Brits, there's heaps of them getting it, and they're all merrily at the pubs.
It's hard to – like, I know I've spoken to people in Britain and Europe this week.
Some of Fiona's best friends are British.
I am British. I've got a passport. That they – you know, they're crazy. They've got a massive second wave that's worse than the first. So I think it's going to – the huge consequences. They opened up their economy because it was summer, but gosh, I think they've really done the wrong thing, and I think it only shows that we are making the right decision. But you know, even just walking through Fitzroy where I live, there's just a Felice sign on every third or fourth window.
It's terrible, isn't it? It's going to take so long. Businesses and businesses that have not been massively impacted so far will start to be so because everyone's working at home. There's not those opportunities to have those conversations about forward planning in businesses and all that, those strategies. So even the ones that are supposedly hanging on and going okay, I reckon their productivity will start to as well.
Yeah, that's really sad. And then I think Melburnians having to see the grand final move to the Gabba, now that announcement came through in the last week or so, and yeah, that's going to be hard because normally that's the big thing of Melbourne's calendar. So,
well, as you always say, Fee, it's, you know, it's our Christmas.
It's our Christmas.
I mean, welcome to 30 years of my life, though, not where the grand final is, and I've turned out well.
You have turned out well, but it's, okay. You know,
we'll,
I think we
put
just
a pin in that one, Beck.
We just want to do a shout out to all our listeners in Melbourne that are going through it at the moment. At least there's kind of light at the end of the tunnel, but we're not sure how it all looks, and some people are faring better than others, and some people are really struggling. So, big love and big footy hugs to all of you.
Indeed. I was thanks for asking, guys, how I'm going.
how are you going, Beth?
Thanks for asking. So I was the same as you, Fee. That grand final thing really hit me because you girls know I'm a grand final maniac. Like, I live for that shit. Like, every year I get on a bandwagon. I've got a whole shelf in my cupboard of other teams' merchandise. You guys came to my house last year. It was orange. I made signs that said a big sound from the west of the town. And before that,
that's right.
I'm going to have to be dressed up in my house alone was quite sad for me. But one good thing that did happen to me this week was that Daniel Andrews has announced that lonely hearts like myself can go into a bubble with another single person. I started the week asking various friends of mine to prepare submissions. To be in my bubble. I asked for PowerPoint presentations. I asked them what they would bring food-wise, drink-wise, entertainment-wise. Anyway, look, decision
pending. I spoke to Dad Beck about it, and he said, would it be okay if he just gave you a Zoom presentation because he's not great on PowerPoint?
That's fine. Actually, I think me and Johnny Mott could be good in it.
Yeah.
Could get on. That'd be weird if you're in a bubble with Motty's dad, but, you know.
Would it, though? We both like Pino.
I could come over to see him sort of under the guise of care. He's an older gentleman. And then the three of us could have a gay
old time.
And then I could come over as caring for Motty.
Yeah.
Yes. But
and this is how big grand final parties happen. Everyone gets the COVID.
But what this led me to was a thought. So if you had to be in a COVID bubble with one AFL personality, so I'm going to say it could be a player, a commentator, modern, past, who would it be and why?
I love it.
Okay. I'm going to go straight into Timmy Watson.
Yes.
I tell you, okay, and here's my whys. Tim, I've always loved. He was always my number one player. James Hird took it over. James Hird's a bit on the nose. But Timmy's always been there. So one, favourite player. Mm-hmm. Two, funny. I think he's a funny guy.
I hear
him on other radio. He's got a good sense of humour. He's got football knowledge without being too precious about it. And it would appear he likes red wine.
He does. And
these are all excellent things. So I vote one Timmy Watson for me.
Good one, Motty. What about you, Fee?
Can I pick a coach?
Any
football personality. I would probably pick Chris Fagan.
I reckon you've got a bit of a thing for Chris.
I do.
You've got a crush on him.
I have a Chris Fagan-shaped hole in my heart. And, I just think I'd like to learn from him and his
leadership. For your future coaching career.
Yeah, for my future coaching career. His leadership style, all that sort of stuff.
I like that. Good choice.
Good. Okay, I'm writing them down just in case someone, you know.
Just in case I need to form a bubble.
Yeah.
Beck, and yours is?
I've gone back and forth a few times, and I've got to say Tim Watson did get on my list, but I landed on Luke Darcy, and here's for why.
Wow.
One, we're both South Australians, so we can have relatable discussions about, you know, Victoria. Number two, he's quite handsome. And, you know, it's been a while. Number three, I thought, well, his family's very connected in the hotel industry. Surely he gets good rates on party food and wine. So I thought, we can have a grand old time with, you know, half price drinks.
You and I have used similar criteria, basically party
and
kind Fee's of gear.
A girly and squat. She's I'd like to.
He wants to learn about, you know, leadership and things like that. And we've gone, I reckon that we could have
get drunk with
party pies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if he gave you half-price drinks and he was in your bubble, that's pretty tight. But, you know.
Imagine if we had a bubble that was me, Moddy, Luke Darcy and Tim Watson.
Oh, we'd have a gay old time again. That's second time I've said it.
And me and Fakes would be in a corner discussing wise things.
Yeah, no offence, but you guys would be a bit boring for a half-price.
You wouldn't be, yeah. Yeah, you'd be in the other room.
Anyway, look, we've covered all the big issues. That was my question for the day. Who would like to talk about... Oh, actually, we've got some more footy news to go through. We haven't even got to.
Sure have.
God.
Sure have.
Susanna, I don't want to take away from your dinner table, but there's some AFL big dogs in the AFL big dog hub this week.
Yes, there are.
We're going to get to that.
The Gillon McLachlan... Well, he's winning hair watch for starters right off the bat.
Oh, can we talk about Gil's hair?
He's got his Stephen Kernahan look going.
I love it. I'm here for it.
He looks great.
No, he's a bit woolly.
He's the only person that needs the hairdressers open more than I do. The other thing is Richmond, Sydney Stack and Callum Coleman-Jones caught up in a fight outside a Gold Coast strip club. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But wow.
In a broader sense, Richmond have had, in my opinion, too many things happen too close together.
I agree.
I don't think they're having a good run.
I've got a theory. I think they've handled failure better than they've handled success. They've handled failure better than they've handled success.
Yeah, good point.
Like
they
went from 13th to first on the ladder. They rose to that challenge, and now that they've experienced success, they're not handling it as well as they could. That's my theory.
Well, I asked Bree whether where was Neil Barman, whether there are enough senior club officials up there, because Brendan Gale was just. I think he was there initially, but he was on the plane last week, so he hasn't been there. Neil Baum is no longer in the position he once held. He's got some Mickey Mouse title now. He's not there. There's two heads of football, and Bree said there's one of them up there. So all there is really in terms of leaders of the club are Dimmer and that other guy. Not enough. Not enough when you're putting people in completely foreign environments and...
But also, Moddy, they're adults. They're professional adults. Do they need a minder?
I'm not suggesting they need minders, but it's more a guidance kind of vibe. This is how we work I don't think they need babysitters. It's more
leadership.
Leadership and a bit of just calmness, and I don't know that they're getting enough of that. Up there. Calm the farm, exactly. I mean, this is what Bob Murphy said about Richmond the other day, and it sounds harsh, but I think it's slightly apt at the moment. They're a footy team we admire, but they're not a footy club we admire at the moment.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah, it's tough, but it's...
Yeah, Damien Hardwick's been a bit strange, I think, over the last few weeks, in my opinion.
He's been scratchy.
Yeah, he's said some random things. He's exploded in the coaching box. Chucks about other coaches. It's just been a bit weird.
I don't know about you guys, but I need to have a little breather after all that before we talk about some games. What do you think?
Good idea.
Great idea.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy. Listening to Chicks Talking Footy, I'm Beck. I'm here with Fee and Moddy. Now we are going to look at some of the games. We are somewhere between round 15 and 16, and I've got to be honest, I think I'm a bit cheeky with this first game because it was happening when we were recording last week and I got to talk about it then, but it is the only game the Crows have won this season, and so I thought, bugger that, I'm slipping it back in. Sorry, Fee. But my Crows finally got a win. I was in a – you would have thought we had won a grand final. I don't know about
who did they beat, Beck?
The Hawthorn Hawks. That's H-A-W-T-H-O-R-N, Hawthorne. I don't know about you guys, but I'm in like a million different chat groups of Crows supporters, and they were just going off. They were clucking. I had the volume up when they sang the song. I had a little tear come out of my eye because it could be COVID. Who knows? But wow, what a game.
I'm so glad that my Hawthorn Hawks were able to give you and provide you with so much joy.
Well, it really did, Fee. So thank you.
Yeah. It's a big question about whether Adelaide are improved or whether Hawthorn are truly shite.
Well, we're very much not good.
Yeah, well, Adelaide are playing. We're filming. We're recording on Tuesday. We're about to find out, aren't we? Adelaide are about to play.
Well, this is a big game. Not for us because wins mean nothing. But GWS need to win against the Crows tonight to make finals. They are masters of their own destiny. So interesting to see.
It does. Now we've jumped forward to round 32.
Sorry. So I'm overexcited, Susanna.
Because, but just if you wouldn't mind me just reading out, like the AFL, whoever's on the AFL website does an excellent job with their headlines. So
love them. Please tell me.
This is not one of the best. There are some others better ones coming up, but finally a win. Crows break drought, Hawks hit new low. I mean, they've just played it straight here.
No holes barred.
No mucking around. Sometimes they get very funny and clever with it, but straightforward there. It hurts. Mm.
Now, speaking of who is worst, the Eagles and the Bombers.
Well, it is. It's a game of worst, isn't it, for us?
I was going to give you the choice because your team's actually played twice since the last show and one of them was bad and one of them was bloody awful. One would you like to discuss and why?
Let's just do this one because we were a bit closer in the West Coast Eagles match. But really, to be honest, the score lines of both, it doesn't really matter. The Bombers played poorly. Mm. In both, and the opposition actually played really well. But the thing that West Coast and Geelong both had in common is they're very clean with the ball and quick. So we were kind of pushing forward like rugby, and it's just hideous. And we'd take, you know, maybe 10 possessions to get it up to the forward line, then turn it over, and there'd be boom, 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 and into Liam Ryan's hands. Is it Liam or Luke Ryan? No, Luke. Liam Ryan.
He kicked four goals, yeah.
Yeah, hands and kick a goal. Like there was, and Geelong were doing exactly the same thing. So both
and Liam
those
Ryan
teams,
was amazing because Josh Kennedy's been, you know, the big forward and he was out with concussion and Liam Ryan really stepped up to the plate.
So good. He was such a good player.
I would like to give Essendon a compliment though, Motti.
Could you?
I would like to call that compliment Anthony McDonald Tippenwoody. I love him.
How good was he?
Yeah, he's great. I think, you know what, I'll give you a tick for him.
But he kicked four goals. I mean, he was clean with the ball. He was really the only shining light.
Mm.
The other guys are getting big numbers like Merritt and Shield. Shield's disposal is poor, do I have to say it again? You know, Merritt's playing well. It was nice, though, to have Heppel back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a while.
Yeah. Fair. And the other Bomber news is that Conor McKenna, the Irish lad, has announced today, being Tuesday, that he's going back to Ireland.
We're not surprised by that, are we?
I'm not, no.
But you would have thought he would have lasted till the end of the season?
You would think so when it's two games to go. But we just don't know how hub life's affecting them, really.
He
hasn't played the last couple of games. He had a broken hand at one point. He's only played 6 out of 16, and it's obviously just got to him. He's just gone, I can't do it anymore.
You know, he's had a lot of homesickness, which is not a crime. And also, I think we also don't know how much being the only player that tested positive to COVID might have impacted him as well.
That's a very good point.
That's horrific.
When I thought of that today, I thought, well, if he was already struggling, that's the kind of thing that would tip you over the edge, wouldn't it? You know, so.
I reckon we'll see a lot of player movement, not necessarily, you know, people going back to Ireland, but I reckon and this is a bit of a sidebar, but I think some of the players up in Queensland at the Hubs or in Perth at the Hubs will be going, oh, hang on, this is quite nice. It's a lot nicer than Melbourne winters. And you might find, you know, players from, you know, that are a bit disenchanted with their own club more attractive.
Follow the sun.
Follow the sun.
I'd be in a Hub if I could.
Would you? Which one would you be in?
I'd probably go to Brisbane.
How many are there? Because they seem to be in Cairns.
I'd like to go to Adelaide? Sanctuary Cove. That seems nice.
I've been to Sanctuary Cove. It is nice.
It reminds me of somewhere that I heard advertised on TV in the 80s.
Yeah, it's – well, I went there literally in the
80s. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was like the place to go.
Yeah, wasn't that Christopher Scase's joint?
Yes, it was too.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about games.
Let's talk about Christopher Scase. No, let's talk about more teams who are a bit rubbish.
Melbourne.
Oh, man.
So Melbourne have been disappointing, haven't they?
This is against the Swans. Demon disaster leaves final hopes up in the air. I mean, I've built these headings up and they are poor.
This isn't their best week, I have to say.
No.
I think those finals hopes were potentially dashed, though, some 5 days later when they lost to Fremantle last night, though, weren't they?
There's something really wrong.
They just don't have that hunger.
But it's been wrong for a long time. I go back to Anne Dale's quote when I asked her what she said, what she thought was the issue with Adelaide. And, you know, we talked about a few things and she said basically it's culture. Mm. And I think Melbourne have got a real culture problem and I think Sydney are a very good, strong club.
Yeah.
And they always have been. And I think there's real issues at Melbourne. I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Mm. Well, and, you know, there's got to be some questions around Simon Goodwin, doesn't there?
Yeah.
I think so.
Although this morning I was listening on a different radio station and they were talking about this and they were talking about it in the context of Richmond. And Richmond, before they got good, were in a similar place to Melbourne. You know, and people were saying, is Hardwick the man for the job? And Peggy O'Neill came out and said he's going to be our next premiership coach, which luckily turned out she was right. You know, and there were players wanting to get out of there and all those sorts of things. So
it's a good point.
I just think maybe, but I also think Simon Goodwin's had his chance, you know.
Is it his fourth year? He's got two more years in a contract. They won't pay him out, so they're stuck with him. But they're just – I look at Longmuir in the box for Frio. There's a passion around him. I just don't see any passion around Goodwin.
No, it's really – and, you know, I just think
– And Nix, there's passion around Matthew Nix after their win.
Oh, bless him.
Also, Sydney have been really good. Like, even when they've had a lot of young players and you'd think they'll be bottom of the ladder, they've managed to have this culture that even when young players click in, they can rise to this, you know, champion culture that they've developed.
It's Sydney amazing. Have always had that no D heads policy, and I think it's worked for them.
Yeah,
you know?
And I can't stand them, so that's interesting. But they are a good club.
But I think Frio have done quite well, to be honest.
Yeah, I've been a rap for Frio for weeks. And yeah, Longmuir.
Well, he's hot. That's why you're a rep for them.
Yeah, I was going to say he's also a bit of a silver fox, but irrelevant to this. Mm. so Melbourne, you know what I want to talk about, guys? I want to talk about the Greater Western Sydney Giants.
Please do.
So Greater Western Sydney Giants, I don't know why I'm being formal today. But
you are.
I'm not sure if you remember they lost the grand final last year, right?
It was a bit big sound.
And
how
many
did they lose by? Was it 90?
About a million and a half?
80 or 90. Yeah.
Now, I'm not quite Rachel Hopkins with Port Adelaide, but I reckon I've been pretty bolshy about GWS and their premiership window. But I reckon that is the window closing. They have to win their last two games to play – their next three games, sorry, to play finals. They're not relying on anyone else. It's all them. But it just doesn't seem to be working. Like, they just beat Carlton, and Carlton should have won that game. But I just think, you know, the boy band maybe has sung its last song.
Oh, winning. Well, they're eighth on 32 points with 14, having played 14 games. Collingwood are seventh on 34 with 15 games and Bulldogs are ninth on 32 points with 15 games. So Bulldogs are playing like a finals team.
Yeah,
and I don't really think, as you said, GWS or even Collingwood really, that matter, are.
I don't think Collingwood can find a forward line, not a proper one.
Oh, do you know what? Here's the thing. On that other radio station that talk about sport and football a lot, I heard today an interview with Mark Williams, you know, former coach, former Port coach, that guy. He said that where they're training in the hubs don't have goalposts. He said that might have something to do with the poor kicking.
I mean, explain
that. That seems just wrong to me.
I've got two questions. One, what? Secondly, what?
Yeah. Who puts up with that? That's just stupid.
I mean, that's put if some they're going to have the ground. Grand final, they need to have goalposts.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Anna.
Speaking of things in Brisbane, the Brisbane Lions, fourth straight win. I feel like they're a Brisbane Lions loving show, guys.
Can I just say, I want to play this thing from Luke Hodge. He was interviewing one of the Brisbane players before this game. Here's what he had to say.
We're lucky enough to be down here with the Hawks' leading goal kicker, Charlie Cameron.
Hawks.
How about go again? I was on Hawks.
So clearly still has an infatuation with Hawthorn.
So like he does.
Sex.
It is like saying your old partner's new name to your new partner, though, isn't it? Although, has he broken up with his new partner too? And is he now a free agent to do whatever he likes?
According to some people we've spoken to at Brisbane this year, he's kind of helping out at Brisbane, but he's mainly a Channel 7 commentator.
Oh, well, he can call whoever he likes, whatever he likes.
Yeah, but it was still pretty funny.
I liked it. That was good. Well, that was games, guys. I'm not going to give it a round, but that was games. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy. We'll be back shortly.
The winner takes it all. The loser standing small. Beside the victory.
Guest on Chicks Talking Footy is Shelley Ware. Shelley is the host of Colour My Jumper Show, co-hosts the Outer Sanctum, and is a teacher and a mad Carlton supporter.
All rolled into one.
Thanks. All rolled into one. You're a multitasker. So, first of all, we've all just heard the roadmap out of lockdown over the weekend. How are you and your family holding up through all of that?
We're doing exceptionally well. We've been very fortunate, though. My husband's still working. I'm still working. You know, I've lost a lot of media work, but, you know, you can adapt those things. So we're pretty fortunate. And, you know, we've managed to get some belly laughs in. So we can't complain. We're very blessed. And our hearts are going out to people that aren't in the same situation that we're in.
Carlton hasn't been too bad to watch. Why have you been in lockdown?
Well, there is that too. Carlton has certainly lifted for us and given us something to cheer about. Can't say the same for the other girls from the Outer Sanctum and their Hawkers.
No, well, I'm a Hawker too. But Beck Dahl is a Adelaide Crow supporter, so she's really bombed out for the year.
Yeah, that's hard, Beck.
There's always next year in the draft picks. Shelley, there's a lot of things we want to talk to you about because there's so many things I think that you've been a part of even just the last few weeks. But I want to go back a couple of weeks to Sir Doug Nicholls' round and the Dreamtime game at the Northern Territory. For me, watching that, that was so special, and that Welcome to Country got me so emotional before that game. How special was that to you to have that game played there?
Oh, look, it's a beautiful, it was a beautiful moment. When Uncle did that Welcome to Country, I don't think there was a person in Australia or around the world that wasn't watching that didn't feel connected and didn't feel welcome to his country. So I think it's one of my favourites, and I think for a lot of people, their favourites that they've ever been a part of and truly felt welcome to country. Yeah, it was wonderful to see it, and it was wonderful to see football taken to Darwin and how embraced it was by everybody. It was just, and to see those boys playing in front of their families.
Do you think, how do you think it'll affect, it's such a special moment, how do you think it's going to affect next year? You know, it's also special at the MCG, there's no doubt about that, with 100,000 people being part of the event. Is there a way to sort of make it all happen next year, do you think?
I think we'll probably see that the Dreamtime at the G will remain if all goes well and everyone's, you know, back to their new COVID norm, whatever that will look like. Because the MCG, you know, the Dreamtime at the G, it's just, that is really quite spiritual and quite beautiful as well. It has its own connection to culture and the local people of this land. So they're both really special. So I think we have learned that there are other places in Australia that offer beauty and you know, that connection to football. So I think we might see a game up in Darwin, maybe a few spread out. You know, other places have shown us they've got something to offer.
Exactly right. Now, Shelley, one of the noticeable differences this year was that the Aboriginal flag wasn't displayed during the game, and there was obviously the Free the Flag campaign, which, I mean, I guess comes out of something terrible, but was quite an inspiring campaign. And I know that you were very much a part of that. There's two things I want to ask you. One is, what does that mean to the Aboriginal community to not be able to free the flag? And also, what did it mean to see the football community get so behind it?
Yeah, it was just everything about the AFL joining in and Aboriginal people, it really showed us that they care. That the time out of what is a massively busy schedule, and it was a last minute thing, and they just embraced the Aboriginal community, and it really felt like they said, we've got you. Within the Aboriginal community, there are a large proportion of people who want the flag free for people. And there are smaller that have different views about clan flags or, you know, redesigning a completely new flag. So there's different viewpoints, but for the majority of Aboriginal people, it is about getting the flag back. You know, it's just bizarre that, you know, this flag is under copyright. It's the only flag in the world, you know, that we have to pay to use. And it comes with all sorts of restrictions that make you very nervous about using the flag that you feel really connected to. So for the AFL to all come together so quickly, wear the T-shirts, and clubs are still wearing them. Like, I've seen St Kilda and Melbourne still wearing their warm-up top and really embracing it and wearing them just down the street. Like, you've gone, how could this be? You know, so it was great to see it on the main stage.
I have to say, I was sort of embarrassed to say that I had no idea that it was under copyright. And when I found out, I was really flabbergasted because I thought, this is not anyone's to own, you know. This is a flag that belongs to the Aboriginal people. It's not a corporate, you know, money-making ideal. And it just really struck me that something that belongs to people has been commercialized like this.
And it shows you the power of sport, doesn't it? Australia, they got that message out to everybody. And he's been listening.
How does this affect Harold Thomas? So he's the artist that designed it. What's his views on it? I haven't heard much about what he's had to say.
There's been a few views. Firstly, he sort of said that he copyrighted it so other people couldn't take it from Aboriginal people, that it was just Aboriginal people. Then it's come out this week that he was actually paid to share it with Aboriginal people and that he had received an amount, I think it might have been 10 years ago now, I'm not sure. But that was never really documented. That was just a handshake kind of situation. So there's also the part about him having the right to self-determination and, you know, being able to look after himself and his family, and this was something that he created, even though that comes with a lot of contention about whether he was the person who created the flag or did he take it off a European artwork. You can check all that out on Clothing the Gap. They have a website and a timeline of the flag with a very clear history of it. So, I mean, we are talking about a man that we still have to respect, that he has a right to self-determination. It's about getting it right that it's a flag that's free for the people, and it's not making him like the really bad person in this situation as well, because he's still a man with family and act within the community as well. But it's just a tricky one.
Yeah, there's a lot of stakeholders and a lot to weigh up with it too.
Yes.
Which has been really interesting. And I know that Senators McCarthy and Dodson have called on the Senate to ask the government to step in. What happens there? Because if the government own the rights, what impact will that have?
It would be the same as the Australian flag, is
right.
Standing. So the same thing. They just have it there in a box, in a piece of paper, chucked in a safe.
Right. Okay, and anyone could use the flag for whatever purpose.
Exactly how the Australian flag is used now.
Right, okay. So that's the ultimate aim of the Free the Flag movement. Okay, well, that's really good that's...
Well, if that doesn't happen, I know that Laura Thompson is thinking of buying the flag back from Aboriginal people, just the country itself. If the government doesn't come forward, I know that she's thinking of other ways in which that could happen, that, you know, maybe the people could buy the flag back and it goes into a trustee or something and it is still free for everybody to use.
Shelley, the other thing that you've been involved in, again, in the last couple of weeks, is co-authoring a letter to the Attorney General to address racism online and, you know, the attacks that seem to have escalated. Tell me what brought this on, and that may be obvious, but I think it's important to talk about. And then secondly, what is it that you hope the government might be able to assist with?
Well, it is pretty obvious that I don't like racism. So
really?
What? Yes, neither do we. So we'll, yeah.
Oh, love it.
No, yeah, it's just this, it just keeps coming back into my life, you know, for as long as I can remember, it's just there, and it's just debilitating, and it holds you back. You know, we've had a lot about systemic racism, and it's a new word that people are beginning to understand, that Australia is built on systems of racism. But it's the in-your-face racism that it just has to stop while we're trying to sort each other out. You know, we're going through a really difficult time as society at the moment. So I talked to Kate, you know, being a teacher, having dyslexia, sort of, you know, it wasn't going to be my strength to make a letter to the Attorney General that was going to look, you know, pretty fandangled. So she actually said to me that this was something I could do, because I never would have thought of it myself. I don't understand the process of law. So having Kate Sear, who is a lawyer friend, on the Outer Sanctum podcast was pretty handy.
Yeah.
So I wrote down all of the points that I really wanted to get into the letter, and then she made it look like this amazing letter that an Attorney General would read and that people would sign. So we got 100 signatories, people from, you know, Adam Good, Stan Grant, through to my girlfriend who's a librarian, to my brother who's, you know, a diesel mechanic, all the way up to ex-Supreme Court lawyers and, you know, current lawyers, people working in Our Watch. So you just have a look at it. Like, it's just amazing signatories themselves. And that's on the Outer Sanctum podcast website under the update tab. We asked for is that they look at and explore legal and policy reforms so that people are safe from this abuse, and that the platforms are educated in the rapidly evolving nature of online vilification, because that's what you notice when you report something. You instantly notice that you get something back that says, oh, no, this is fine. It's right in with everything. And you're like, whoa, I don't know what you consider racism, but it certainly isn't. Doesn't fit the same criteria as me. We also ask that the e-safety commissioner has the control to remove harmful posts not able to be, basically, that you need to be able to be identifiable in some way and capacity, so that, you know, people can't troll and then produce racist content online. And let's be honest, you and I both know that this doesn't just extend to racism. You know, there are a lot of people that we are thinking of, you know, of protecting in the LGBTIQ community.
Yeah.
It goes across so many people that this will actually protect. And also, we thought if somebody is removed from the platform for breaking the rules, they can't actually get back until they do some sort of education around racial vilification or discrimination of whomever they have vilified. That's what we're going for. It's a lot. You know what?
Might as well do it. I mean, we certainly in our community understand the same vilification, and we've seen some of our transgender players, for example, get trolled relentlessly, death threats, you know, the whole thing on social media. It seems to be ramping up, not ramping down.
I agree.
To the point that it's actually getting out of control. And sometimes I wonder if I'm dealing with a real person, or we certainly experienced it a lot during the plebiscite. But yeah, we definitely need policies in place to deal with things swiftly. It should have real life consequences too, not just online consequences.
Absolutely. Now, we got Hannah Mouncey. She's one of our signatories as well. Because
fantastic.
Yeah, only too well do we know what she goes through. So
that's awful.
Yeah, absolutely disgusting. So, you know, we wanted her voice there as well. And, you know, I know that she speaks for many. The great news was that the Attorney General asked to leave Cabinet the day that we actually sent the letter. And he spoke to Porter and said that moving forward, his aim would be that however people online would be the same laws, they will be the same laws as if they were in normal, regular life in the streets.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
That's his aim, and that's what he wants. So, you know, these things are probably already on the agenda. We all know how easy it is for our lives to be pushed aside in an agenda for the government when something else comes up. So we just wanted to make sure that he knew we were watching and that this is what we would like and put our voice in. So people can add their voice to the letter as well, and we're really encouraging people to. You can check that all out on the same when you read the letter and add your voice to the letter and your name to the letter. We would love that.
Fantastic. We'll do, Shelley. It's really inspiring, and I think it's great that it's actually happening at that level, and we're addressing it at that level at the moment. And look, hopefully it starts to project some of our sports and footy players in the future and people like yourself.
Yeah, and hopefully, and I know that this will impact not just this generation but future generations. You know, it will have immediate impact on this one. A lot of the work that I do is for future generations, so this is quite rewarding that hopefully something will impact us in our day. So we're safe to go on online, and we have the right socialising and debating with people, and you know, having those rights should be the same for us as it is for people who, you know, from mainstream Australia. So there are hope, and waiting to hear back officially, Attorney General, but waiting every day, checking that inbox.
Christian, if you're listening, go back to Shelley ASAP.
The last very serious question, is Eddie Betts going to play next year?
You know, there's a lot of talk around the club, a lot of talk, and they've all saying he's got to go on. So interesting to see if he does go on, because he's still got a lot to offer, and certainly that leadership has shown this year on the field. So I've got my fingers and toes crossed. Have you too?
Oh, that's the little sound of my Adelaide Crows heart breaking, Shelley. I loved Eddie. I thought he was one of the greatest things that had ever happened to the Adelaide Football Club, on field and off field, like an amazing human. And look, there's a part of me that likes the fairy tale of him being back at Carlton. It's just very sad that it had to happen at the expense of my team.
Well, it sucked when you got him in the first place. So,
exactly.
You know.
What have I started?
That's right.
Well, thanks so much for chatting to us, Shelley. And let's all work together to make these changes.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for having me on. Love your work.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy. I'm Beck. I'm here with Fee and Moddy. It's time to turn down the lights and pour your martini. It's time for a dinner table. Do, 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 do. I feel like dinner table, though, is a bit hard to comprehend at the moment when we're not allowed to see each other. Maybe we should call it our socially isolated
Zoom chat.
Yes. Anyway, I'm going to start with entree, and I'm going to talk about the issue of personal responsibility. Small, small thing. I'm saying this in the context of the Richmond players, Sydney Stack and Callum Coleman-Jones, who were caught up in the fight outside the strip club. There were injuries, blah, blah, blah. A lot of things happened. They were both handed a 10-game suspension, banished from the hub, and Richmond was handed a $100,000 fine because this was their second breach after Brooke Cotchin and the beauty salon. And that fine is coming under the club's soft cap. So the soft cap is, and you guys might be able to explain this better than me, but covers coaching and those sorts of things, things that are outside players.
Outside player payments, yeah.
Yeah. So my question is this. I think in the AFL there's a real mentality that it's everything's the club. Everything's the club's responsibility. There doesn't seem to be a lot of individual accountability. And this COVID thing, I think, has really emphasized that to me with these club fines. Now, I think maybe that's a good thing in some ways, but then there's a part of me that says, yes, these guys are young, but they're adults. They're employed in a professional sport. They've got opportunities that the rest of us aren't allowed to have at the moment, to be out and about. I have no doubt they have been hammered with these COVID restrictions. They made a choice to get in an Uber. They made a choice to go to a strip club. They made a choice to have a kebab, which is the only one I support. But I wonder what you guys think in terms of whether the club, and potentially, I think Richmond's a really interesting discussion point because they just got rid of their VFLW program because they couldn't afford it. What you guys think about individual accountability versus club accountability in these sorts of things?
Well, I think it should be both. I think it shouldn't 100% be the club paying that fine, but also they have responsibility, but also the players have to have some consequence.
Mm.
I don't think it's reasonable to say that a player can pay a $100,000 fine or even half of it, especially not at the level that they're at. But they should be paying some of it, a percentage of it or something, because...
Or could there be a scalable fine? So if you're, you know, these young guys, you're paying X percentage of your player payments, whereas if you're Tom Lynch, you're paying X percentage, but obviously that's a lot more.
Yeah, maybe.
Or is the suspension all they should cop? I don't know.
I mean, it's not the way it works in the real world, though, isn't it? It's like if you get a speeding fine, whether you earn $500,000 a year or $50,000 a year, you're paying the same fine.
You pay the same thing. If that, so then, so it's 10 missed 10 matches.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So how does that work? That means 10 matches that the club play.
Mm.
So Coleman Jones
may not have been selected for any of them anyway.
So that's not changing him. So Sydney Stack would have been. Who knows whether he gets the 10 weeks or not. So he loses match payments as well. Mm-hmm. So let's make an estimate that what would he be on? Because he'd be on a low rate.
I think they said, I think I heard maybe 75 or something like that was a number I heard. Oh. Yeah.
Wow. But also remember that they've been amortised down. I think
that's base salary, yeah.
And everything's been amortised down because of the COVID payments. Mm. So let's say he also gets 3K match payment.
Yep.
If it's over 10 weeks, that's 30,000 he loses. Then he pays as well, half the fine. I think it should be 50-50. I'd be happy with that. If they can't, if the AFL or whoever announces it comes out and says the players are playing half and the club are paying half, I'd be like, cool. That works for me.
I think they've done is young and stupid, but what they've done is very serious. They could have put the whole AFL season in jeopardy.
I don't buy it as an accident, you know. Yeah. It's not like
broken the trust.
They were told they could have two people in their room and they had three. Okay, I still don't buy that, but that's, you know, not great. But there was about five steps that they thought through. There was the Uber, there was the strip club, there was the drinking, there was the fighting.
But it started at a club function, at a sanctioned club thing. And then they continued to drink in their own rooms. And then that still wasn't enough. They wanted to go out. And, you know, it's pretty arrogant. As you said, they made the decision. They just thought, let's see if we can get away with a night on the Terps.
Mm. Well, it can only be a night out on the Terps, but I don't have that privilege.
Look, I've had nights exactly like that, probably bar the strip club, but it's also like 2 weeks before, Elijah Taylor had just stuffed up pretty majorly. It's not like
2 weeks after, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like there's any ignorance about these laws. And
we're now up to like 16 out of 18 clubs stuffing up now.
It's just. I mean, the Queensland government have trusted the AFL as well. It breaks the trust of the whole state if people are doing this kind of thing. The AFL grand final's not that far away. It could have stuffed that up. It's a pretty major stuff up. You know what I had a problem with was, I kind of get where Eddie Betts is coming from. He's trying to comfort and be caring about when he said, hey, mate, I drunk.
Been there, done that sort of thing.
Been there, done that. This is more serious than that because
I agree.
There's a pandemic and they spat in the face of all of the work that everybody else has done around that. So it's not just a drinking incident. It's more than that.
And I think, it's not an accident. You know, it was the decision and...
So I hope they learn their lesson and I hope they can earn the respect back of their club because it'll be a journey to do that.
Absolutely. Whew, big entree.
Okay.
Some might say first main course. Fee, what do you want to give us for a main?
I would like to just talk about the privilege that some footy players seem to think they have during this pandemic as well.
Hashtag privilege.
Hashtag privilege.
Loving it. I don't know what you're going to say, but I already love the vibe.
One of the people that have come out and attacked the whole roadmap out of restrictions and everything like that is Dane Swan.
That mental giant.
Yeah. So he came out and said on Twitter, going to be a lot of fines coming the government's way the next couple of months. The rule breaking is going to get a lot worse whether anyone likes it or not. Oh. This mother rhymes with trucker is really wearing on my patience.
Wow.
Going to be tough when you have to leave your designated friend's house at half time during the granny this year. Debacle. And then
You reckon Dan Andrews is checking his mentions today? Be a brave boy, because I'd imagine not a head superfluous coming his way, and he would have been avoided if he had not bungled hotel quarantine. Ah, well. And then the chaser, love the chaser, they said, Dan Andrews slammed for listening to medical experts instead of former AFL players.
Look, I could be wrong, but I wonder whether Dane was being a bit tongue-in-cheek.
Well, though, he's then come out and said he reckons he could be the president of Victoria.
The president?
Mm. Yeah, and he'd do a great job.
The president?
Are you familiar with the
there
fact
isn't
that
one,
Sam,
but he could be it.
Sam Newman and Dane Swan are friends and did
okay,
a podcast?
Well, yeah.
And so, then we've got, you know, the likes of, say, Jeff Kennett, president of the Hawthorn Football Club, coming out with very divisive and unsubstantiated facts and all sorts of things. Beck Judd came out and said Dictator Dan while living in a $7 million mansion, and then copped. She was trending on Twitter for quite some time after that. So I just kind of find it funny that, you know, the AFL community thinks that they can be more smart than epidemiologists.
Of course. I don't know. If I was going to be devil's advocate, there's a part of me that's tried to be very, during Corona, I've tried to be very sort of everyone's got their own, you know, cross to bear, and whose is worse than anyone else's, I don't know. But
fair, you've tried to be.
But that's the
I
worst.
Think is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going to be fair, but, you know.
No, that's less. I think...
Anyway, that's my two bob.
No, that's a good bob.
It's a good two bob.
Thank you.
Susanna Mott.
Susanna Mott's two bob is dessert, and it's simply titled Who Should Go to the Grand Final. So there's 32,000 people in a Gabba. Let's say the Gabba's around 30,000 or something. Normally at the MCG, is it, what, 80% sponsors and executives and all and non-competing? Wouldn't it be great if the AFL this year said, you know what, we are giving 80% fans, football fans. They don't have, you know, obviously it's slightly different. They won't be, unless it's a Brisbane team, they won't necessarily be of supporting teams. But wouldn't it be great if they got behind it, they made a billion scarves of each of the teams, they said, here you go, public, take a scarf, and they turned it into a real fan zone. I think that would be amazing.
And look, I think one of the – I read a stat the other day, which I'm about to make up because I can't remember the exact figure, but it was something like only 2% of AFL club members haven't renewed their membership. Yeah, and when you think about it, in terms of how the economy's going, fans deserve a bloody big thank you for keeping this competition going.
Agreed. But I think it's something like 17,000 or 18,000 tickets go to each club. But then I thought, imagine, say, Port Adelaide and, I don't know, some other team that doesn't have a lot of big supporter base in actual Queensland plays, it would be hard to even get those tickets filled by direct fans.
No, but people from Western Australia or South Australia can go to Queensland.
True.
There's no restriction on them.
If it was the Eagles and Port Adelaide, everyone could fly over.
Yeah, it'd be more if it was, you know, Richmond and...
Well, Richmond have got a lot of fans because Breezer and I were in the Gold Coast when the Premiership Cup toured. And so we went along to get our photo taken. Yeah, we were there. And there was a massive line of literally thousands of Richmond fans.
Richmond fans are everywhere. Geelong are good.
Oh, yeah,
they
maybe.
Could easily get there. It might be them. Saints. Could be the Sanders.
Could be Would anyone.
Be.
Who
Could
knows?
Be the Sanders, couldn't it?
Oh, probably won't be the Crows, Essendon or Hawthorn. On that positive note, we have reached the end of round 15/16 show. It has been a pleasure. Thank you, Motti.
Thank you very much, Beck.
Thank you, Fiona.
Always a pleasure to be your punching bag, Beck.
Exactly. I hope your team wins. We will be back next week on Chicks Talking Footy.